Amen. You may be seated. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're going to begin with verse 27 there and go from there. What a blessing, Jesus Christ. You think about, we sang, Are You Washed in the Blood? Alas, and did my Savior bleed? We've talked about Jesus Christ. You listen to those songs, and over again, they exalt Jesus Christ. He needs to be exalted, but He needs to be exalted in our own hearts, not just as an external idea, not just as something we think about out there, but we need to be thinking about Him in our own hearts and what He means to us. And of course, He can mean nothing unless He's risen from the dead. I like that old song that just says, He lives, but it goes on, I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what they say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always there. He lives, He's in, and then it goes on, it talks about, you ask me how I know He lives within my heart. And so often I think sometimes we get to the point where Jesus Christ, we believe in Him, we believe that He died, we believe that He was buried, we believe that He was risen again from the dead. We know all of that as absolute truth, we don't question it at all. We say we understand that, and we know that He's sitting at the right hand of God, and we know that He's coming back for us one of these days. But do we know Him in our hearts? Not just as Savior, but as a living being there. Just in the last couple of days, I'm trying to get away from this because, it's terrible when you get up and your message is one thing and your heart's somewhere else to some degree. Usually before it's over with, you preach a little bit of the message and a little bit of your heart and kind of mix them in together, and they do fit together, so it's not going to be a problem today. But I was thinking about this and thinking about, how conscious should we be of Jesus in our hearts and our lives? And the more I study this, the more I realize that we're supposed to be quite conscious of Him being there. We talk about a friend that's closer than a brother. Well, how can you have a friend that you don't even recognize He's there? You don't have any fellowship with or anything. And then, of course, I'm going to be right back to John, but this is my little sideline here. But in 1 Corinthians 1:9, I came across this. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through the faithfulness of God, we were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That means there's fellowship with Jesus. And, of course, you have the verse. I'm familiar with this, but in 1 John 1:3, that talks about, says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Who in the world, in the Islamic religion, would talk about having present fellowship with Muhammad right now? I mean, how can you even think about having fellowship with him in a present tense basis? You can't do it. I mean, who around is going around saying, I have fellowship with some of these dead leaders? I guess the Buddhists come close because they're all caught up in this, but they believe their Buddha is now non-existent now. He's reached nirvana, and so he doesn't exist anymore, and therefore that's the closest they ever get to heaven, really. Although they believe in heavens too, but you're reincarnated out of heaven, sometimes back into hell after you've been to heaven. And so, it's not much of a heaven there when you look at it that way. You go through these things and you've got all these religions and you've got these religious leaders, but we can say about Jesus Christ that He lives. And we serve a risen Savior. We do not serve a dead one. We do not serve one who no longer exists, but we serve a Savior who lives forever and ever again. And so we can have fellowship with Him because He lives. In John chapter 20, and the story we're looking at is when Thomas was the doubting Thomas. We're going to be back to this story, so I'm only going to read one verse. But when Jesus appeared to Thomas so he would believe, in verse 27, the Bible says of Jesus, "Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." My message this morning is this: be not faithless, but believing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for the presence of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in our hearts and our lives, even today, right now. Those of us who know You, I thank You for Your indwelling Spirit. And Father, I know that we have a living Savior. And Lord, it's not enough. I want to preach this morning a little bit on the doctrine, the truth that He has risen from the dead. But Lord, I guess more than anything else, my heart is to try to get out to some of these folks here today that He is alive in them and works and moves in them even now. Lord, it's not just a concept that He lives and He's up in heaven. He lives in us. We have Christ in us as the hope of glory. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to look to this today and understand Your presence. Understand Your presence through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of Your Son. And Father, I pray that You'd work in our hearts today. Lord, if there's anyone here that's never been saved, oh, how I pray that You might show them life through Jesus Christ. Those who know You, Lord, oh, how I pray that You might show them the abundance of life that they can have through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name and for His sake, I pray. Amen. You look at this passage and He says, Thomas, you haven't been believing. Be not faithless, but believing. Well, what was he believing? He was having to believe that Jesus Christ was alive. It was coming down to the point where he had to believe that Jesus Christ is alive. You've got to understand that it is not the death of Christ so much that determines Christianity. Yes, He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. Without that death on the cross, we have no hope. But what really makes true Christianity different is that He didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay dead. He said, I'm getting back up again, and He did. And you look at that and you realize the centrality of the resurrection in the message that God gives to us. In fact, if you go to the book of Acts, and we're going to in just a minute, you go to the book of Acts and you start just surveying the preaching that occurred after the day of Pentecost, beginning actually on the day of Pentecost. And you look at those sermons there, and throughout the book of Acts, you see that over and over and over again, the central part of their message is that, yes, He died, but He arose again from the dead. That's what they lived for, was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what made it different, is that He lives. Look with me, please, for just a quick survey to Acts chapter 2, beginning with. All of these are short portions, but I just want to give you a quick survey here. In verse chapter 2 and verse 22, this is the sermon of Peter on the day of Pentecost. He says in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. I like that when it says of Jesus Christ, Peter says, He rose from the dead simply because it wasn't possible for Him to stay dead. You think about the glory of that. It doesn't just say He rose from the dead because God did a great miracle, though He did. It wasn't just because it was prophesied, although it was. It wasn't just because He said He's going to do it, although He did say He was going to do it. It's because death couldn't hold Him. It wasn't possible for Him to stay dead. I will tell you what, when you and I die, it's possible in and of ourselves to stay dead. In fact, it's not possible to get up on our own strength. It's not possible for us to rise again, but the Bible says it was impossible for Jesus to stay dead. Wow. I didn't mean to get off there. Chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him does this man stand here before you. Chapter 5 and verse 30. Do you seem to see a theme here going? Chapter 5 and verse 30. He says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Now we're going to go a little further. Go to Acts chapter 10. I can't cover all these places. You wouldn't want me to. Acts chapter 10. This is the sermon of Peter to Cornelius. Now the message is going to go to the Gentiles. What are you going to tell the Gentiles? You're going to tell them that He lives. You're going to tell, just like He's preaching to the Jews, He said He lives. He's going to preach to the Gentiles. He's going to say He lives. Acts chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. The Bible, Peter's preaching to Cornelius, to the Gentile. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. He says God not only raised him up, but he showed him off for a little while so people would know he'd risen from the dead. You know, sometimes people get the idea that the Jews of the first century must have been real gullible people, and somebody started a rumor that he was risen from the dead, and they all started running to it and believe it. And you read the story of the Gospels, you're going to find out they were much more skeptical than people are today. You say, how do you know? Because all the stuff people believe today. I mean, they go through and pick up some of those newspapers, those, they're not newspapers, those slander papers and everything else. I mean, you know, just a child born from Mars or something, and people pick that up, so I've got to read that. Why? You know, you say, oh, I don't believe it. Yeah, they go around not believing it, but they keep reading it. You know, the thing is people are more superstitious today than those Jews were in the first century. I mean, they wanted the evidence. Thomas, praise God for Thomas. He said, I'm not going to believe he's risen from the dead until I'm able to put my finger in the nail prints in his hands and my hand in the spear print in his side. I want to see him, know him, feel him, touch him, know that it's a real body and I'm not just seeing a spook. Well, praise God for Thomas. He did it. I don't have to. You know? I look at that and I realize that in the book of Acts, he says here, he's risen. God raised him up the third day and showed him openly. Chapter 13, now Paul's out preaching. Chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is out preaching. And he may be preaching to Jews here. I don't remember exactly. I think he is right here. But in verse 28 of chapter 13 of Acts, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid in him a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. Now, I'm reading you the simple statements where they keep saying he raised from the dead. I'm not reading you all the elaboration they're giving to it and how they're saying, here's an Old Testament scripture and here's something that's fulfilled there. Here's how it works out. I'm just showing you that it's there. In chapter 17, this is our last one of this little survey. But Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching on Mars Hill. He's preaching in Athens. Athens was the city of philosophy. It was a city of Plato and Aristotle. It was a city of the old Greek civilization. It was considered a place of great education, and the people there considered themselves much more ancient and much more wise than the new starts, the Romans. And you look here in chapter 17, he's preaching to them. And in verse 31, this is the end of his message. He says, because he hath appointed a day, that's God has appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And you're going to find out not only was it the center part of their message, and this is not really in the point here, but I want you to see this, it was also the parting point with many people at that time. This is just one good example. If you look at the next verse, it says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. It was the resurrection. This is not the only place you find this. Several times you find that when he gets to the resurrection, they say, we need to depart company here a little bit. Somebody showed me the other day where they had written in. I think it was Brother Boshears had written in and asked a question of a place where they didn't stuff on Islam. And he asked them what they believed about Jesus. They were very quick, besides saying he was kind of a good man or something. I forget exactly how they said it. But they were very quick to say, but of course we don't believe that he rose from the dead. You know what? They don't believe my Jesus. You see, my Jesus couldn't stay in the grave. If you believe in a Jesus who could stay in the grave, you don't believe in the same Jesus. You believe in another Jesus. And you must have another God too. You must not have the right God because your God can't raise him from the dead. You see, it is the resurrection that separates between the true believers in Christ and those who aren't. It is, I mean, I know there's other things. We'd like to fix everything on everything, right? Now, we got to get everybody fixed on all their doctrine and everything. Man, I'd like to. I just like to get me fixed sometimes, though, you know, get it figured out. But you know what? Praise God for people who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I praise God for those who have that and believe in Him on the basis of that resurrection. You look here. There's a lot of people, they say they believe in the resurrection, but they're not believing in Jesus. They say, well, I believe He died on the cross, that He rose again from the dead. I believe all that. Sure, that's fine. I believe that, but I believe you got to do the Ten Commandments. You got to belong to my church. You got to be confirmed. You got to take the Eucharist. You got to do all these things to be saved. You're believing in another Jesus too. You say, well, I believe He rose from the dead. Well, that's true, but you don't believe He has the power to save. And you look at that, and we serve a risen Savior. Now, by the way, there is no salvation apart from believing the resurrection. Just a couple of verses here, but in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, we're familiar with this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe that God raised Jesus from the dead in order to be saved.
Right.
By the way, our Christianity is absolutely worthless without the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a short passage here, but 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 14, Paul says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I'm just going to stop there. He says, if Christ not risen, isn't risen from the dead, he says, our preaching's a bunch of empty junk. He says, your faith is a bunch of empty junk. These people who put faith in faith, that's not going to work. Oh, it's just important that you believe in something. Oh, that's sweet. I'm glad you're a religious person. I think it's good to be religious. I don't know if you've ever had somebody say something like that to you, but they're out there. And oh, I'm just so glad. You tell them you're a pastor. You know, I have to go through this sometimes. Oh, you're a reverend. No. I said pastor. There's a difference. Somebody who's reverend is holy. You know, I serve the one who is reverend. And that's God Himself. But His name is reverend, the Bible says. But, or you know, it's just, oh, I think that's so sweet that you are, all of a sudden they get gooey sweet. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's just so wonderful. They might have been cussing them, you know, 30 seconds before that. But you tell them, you have to tell them you're a pastor. And then, you know, all of a sudden it's all this sweet, gooey stuff come out. They don't mean a thing. They don't mean a bit of it. It's just going through, oh, I'm so glad you believe something. Me personally, I'm into transcendental meditation or something, you know. Sorry, there's one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the world hates you when you say that. The world hates you when you say that. You know why they hate you? Because it's true. You know, that means they must be wrong if they don't accept Jesus Christ. You know, the thing is, see, it's not that I'm any better, but my Savior's better than the other saviors of this world. This world has its saviors, it has its God, it has its Christ, but none of them are worth anything. The Lord Jesus Christ taught in this book right here. He's the only one. You look at that and you realize it, what a Lord and Savior and God we have. Now, I want to give you some things here this morning, and I want you to think about some things about be not faithless, but believing. First of all, I want to say this, my first major point. You say you're just getting to it? I know. I don't know what happened. But my first major point is, He said He would. This may be my only point. But He said He would. You realize He said He was going to rise again from the dead? You know, some people have said, you know, about Jesus Christ from the things He said. You know, there's a group of people out there who want to say, well, Jesus, He was a good man. He may have been a prophet of some sort, and He was a nice man, and He said some good things, but boy, He wasn't God. He couldn't have been. I mean, I just can't believe that. Well, if He wasn't God, He's not a good man. Because He claimed to be God. He claimed that He was going to rise again from the dead. Now, if I told you I'm gonna bury me here, I'm gonna die here in a little bit, and you bury me, I'm gonna get up out of the grave in a couple of days. You say, why a couple of days? Somebody's already done three. So, you know, and somebody's already done four in the Bible. So I might as well do two or five or something. And I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna be back on this earth, and I'll be back, see you next Sunday, you know. I'm gonna die Monday, but I'm gonna be back up Friday or something, you know, and I'll be back here and see you Sunday. And I started just telling you that. Now, what's your thought? I know what your thought is. Your thought would be my thought. He's lost it. he's absolutely lost it. Let's call the paddy wagon, get the little special, you know, suits out and everything for him, and let's take him in. Preacher's finally lost it. We knew it was coming. We saw it. We saw the signs and ignored them. No matter what happens in this life, after it happens, you saw the signs. You saw it coming. You just didn't know it. You know, I mean, we're always like that. So you would have figured out what little weird things I've done recently that had brought it on. And, you know, you would put it all together and say, poor guy, you know, we're sorry for him, but we need a pastor now, you know. Get rid of this guy. I mean, that's what you would have done. Now, here's the thing. Jesus Christ said he's going to do it. You say, well, you know, the thing is, there's one of two things. If you say, well, there's actually three things. If I stand up here and say, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again from the dead. One of three things. Number one, I may just be crazy. You know? Number two, I may be a liar and trying to trick you into something. There's people out there, what was it? Brother Barnes brought me a prayer cloth this morning. I really appreciate that. He got it in the mail and he wanted to share it with me. You know, and he said it said on that thing, you better send it back. Don't keep it. And then it didn't have an address to send it to. These people, their marketing scheme might messed up or something. But, you know, prayer cloth. No, I don't worry about that. But, you know, you have either he was crazy or he's a liar or he's who he said he was. He's who he said. Let's look at this real quickly. Look at John chapter 2. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. Bible says this. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, what he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So you find here he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He's talking about the resurrection. He said it as the temple. Not only that, he compared himself to Jonas. I think we've been, since we did Jonah not too long ago, Jonas is just a New Testament pronunciation of Jonah. But we won't go into this, but verse 40, I'll just read Matthew 12:40. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, that's the sign you're getting. Just like Jonah was down in that belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, I'm going to be out in 3 days and three nights. Well, what happened at the end of the 3 days and three nights for Jonah? He got out, didn't he? You know what he's saying to him? In 3 days and three nights, I'm getting out. Not 2 nights and half a day or something, but whatever. You know, 3 days and three nights. He says, I'm going to be out. He taught them that he was going to rise again. Look at Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. What a blessed Savior. Mark chapter 8, and I'm going to try to cut this down a little bit. But he says there in verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter says, no, you can't. You can't do that. That's not going to happen. Peter, who are you? But you know what? He says, I'm going to be, they're going to take me, they're going to afflict me, they're going to persecute me, they're going to kill me, and after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Look at chapter 9 of Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. 8:31, 9:31. It says, for he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. He says, destroy this temple, 3 days I'll build it again. He said, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so I'll be three days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He says, here, by the way, they're going to take me, they're going to kill me, I'm going to rise again after 3 days. Well, you know what? That's pretty bold. What a Savior to be able to do that. But look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. John 10, he's teaching his disciples. Down in verse 17, he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He says, I'm going to lay down my life so I can take it up again. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to die whenever I want to. He says, I have power to live again whenever I want to. Anybody, don't try that at home, right? He said he would. He said he would. Do you realize that his resurrection is supported by his prophecy? I'm not even talking Old Testament prophecy now, but he said he would. Well, he did. And of course, we read the story. By the way, look at Matthew 28. This one's a short one. But Matthew 28, most of the time we'll read this, and I feel like we need to at least read the main story here, first six or eight verses here of Matthew chapter 28. What a Savior. You say, when did He rise again? Well, He rose again when He said, look here, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Now, I'm going to stop there. One of the most powerful words in the whole Bible is, He is not here, for He is risen. But have you ever noticed that He said there, as He said? As He said? You know, I think about over there in that definition of the gospel there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, that He died on the cross and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. And it says, according to the Scriptures. You know what that means? As He said. Here it is. He says, He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. He said He would. He did. Amen. He said He would. He did. But they did not believe. That's the third one. I can show you this in one passage. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. He said He would, and He did, but they didn't believe. Not at first. Mark 16, and beginning in verse 9. Here some have seen Him rise from the dead. It says, Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believe not. Believe not. After that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Afterward, verse 14, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. Do you realize they didn't believe? Do you realize the problem that's in the world today is people don't believe? You realize you're my problem many times in the power of God in our lives is we don't believe. We believe on an intellectual level. We believe in a kind of a commitment level. I've committed to Christ. I believe He rose again from the dead. But you don't believe He's living in your heart right now and He's there to help you. I mean, you lose the power of the resurrection in your life and you don't believe. They did not believe. They didn't believe until they saw Him. But you know what? Some believed. They started believing. John chapter 20. Just very briefly, I'm going to look here. John chapter 20. The first few verses tells about Peter and John running to the tomb when they hear that the tomb was empty. John gets there first. And I'm not going to read the whole story. It's the reason I'm telling it to you. John gets to the door of the tomb. He's evidently younger than Peter. And John was evidently a very young man at this time. He lived up in the you know, many, many years later, and he comes to the door of the tomb and he stops. He couldn't make himself go in. Peter just keeps running. He goes right on in, you know. He looks around. The Bible says something about John at that point, which is an amazing thing. And I praise God for this. It says here, let me read in verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him. He's following John. And went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head not lying with the linen clothes. That means he wrapped it together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple. John now goes in, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. You know what, John? He's so precious to Jesus. He saw the empty tomb. He says, you know what? I remember. He said he would. He said he would. He's not here anymore. He's risen from the dead. And you look at those other disciples, every one of them had to see Jesus before they believed, but not John. Amen. John saw the empty tomb. He says, I believe. I believe. And you read on down through here, you find one at a time, he starts showing himself. Down in verses 19 and 20, he appears to them. And it says in verse 20, it says, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, the group there, they believe. But Thomas is missing. Thomas is missing. And so as we read earlier, he comes down to Thomas. Thomas says, I'm not going to believe unless I see him. And in verse 26, it says, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas falls down. He says, you're my Lord and you're my God. You got to be Jehovah's Witness to believe he was cussing. You know what J.W. tells you on that one? Seriously. I mean, I'm not just making fun of people. I'm making fun of their doctrine. There's a difference. But I really am. I mean, you know, you say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Elijah didn't feel that way. He made fun of Baal. He made fun of Baal. Maybe he's off asleep somewhere. Holler a little louder. You know, he made fun of him. You know? And you know what they teach? They teach that Thomas comes there, looks at Jesus, and says, my God, as a slang phrase, which according to the Jewish custom was blaspheming God. It was taking his name in vain, and they should have taken him out and stoned him, according to their law. You go back and you study it. That's what they weren't supposed to take God's name in vain that way. By the way, we're not either. God's gracious. A lot of Christians go around doing it. You know, you should not say, my God, in a slangy way. You know, just a little extra there in case you've never been told that before. Okay, a lot of people haven't. They've never heard that in their life, and they say, oh, I never thought about that. But you know what you're doing? You're using God as a slang word. Right. That's taking God's name in vain. That's exactly what he's talking about, using it in an empty way, using it in a foolish way, just throwing God's name out. But you know what he said? He said, my Lord and my God. You know what he's saying? There's my Lord, and he's my God. That's who he is. And you look at that and you say, you look at, and he says, you know what, Thomas, I want you to know something though. There's going to be some beyond you who believe even though they don't see, and they get a special blessing. Look at verse 29. He says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's me. I've never seen Jesus risen from the dead. I've never seen him. Even that picture on that prayer rug, that was supposed to be the face of Jesus. I don't believe it is. I believe it looked a bit like him. They don't know what he looked like. Right. You know what? But I tell you what, I believe in him. Amen. I believe he rose. I believe he died on that cross, and my sins were poured out on him at that time. I believe he went into the grave dead. I mean, really dead. That body was dead. And that body was there for 3 days and three nights. I believe at the end of that time, he arose again from the dead in his own power and by the Father and by the Spirit quickening him. And he came up out of the grave. And he came up out of the grave, and that angel had to report, sorry folks, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. You know what? I don't know about you, but I got a special blessing from Jesus Himself. No, pop some buttons here. That's not hard for me. You know what? God says, I've given you a special blessing because you believe without seeing. I got something Thomas doesn't have. I've got something Peter doesn't have. I've got a special blessing for believing in my Lord and Savior, even though I haven't seen Him. I got something Andrew didn't get. And Philip. I don't know, John may get it because he believed when he saw the empty tomb. He didn't have to believe him otherwise. But I got something all those other disciples didn't get. Maybe to some degree I got something Paul didn't get because Paul saw him on the road to Damascus. I haven't seen him on the road to Damascus. I've just seen him in this book. I've seen him in the truth of it. I believed on him and God. You know, Jesus Christ Himself says, you get a blessing from me. I got that blessing. I thank the Lord for it. I've got a special blessing because I believe without seeing. Do you believe today? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe in Him first of all as your Savior? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you believed in Him? Have you trusted in Him as your Savior? I can say to you this morning, He lives. He lives. Christian, let me ask you, do you believe? One more verse. Two verses together in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to be closing. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is praying for the Ephesians. Verse 19, he says, I want him to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Paul was praying for those Ephesian Christians, and he says, Lord, would You show them the power of Your resurrection? Would You show it? Would You make the power of Your resurrection real? See, he's not asking God that they believe in the resurrection. He's asking God to show them the reality of the power of the resurrection in their lives if they trust in Him. You know, Paul, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He knew somewhat of that power. You know, we go through life just beaten up and defeated and discouraged and everything else. And Paul is here praying. He says, oh Lord, would You show those Ephesians the power of Your resurrection which You wrought in Christ when You raised Him from the dead? Would You show them that power? Would You show them what You can do in their lives and how You can be with them and how You can help them and how You can pick them up and how You can move them forward and how You can keep them for Your sake and how You can encourage them when they're discouraged and how You can just be a blessing to them? Oh Lord, show them that power. Show them that they don't have to be in weakness all the time. Show them they don't have to be defeated all the time. Show them they don't have to be discouraged all the time. That Jesus is with them. Jesus is in them, the power and the hope of glory. Look to Jesus. He'll help you. He says, would you just show them that? Would you just show them that? I think we could go back and pray to God today and say, Lord, I feel so beat up, defeated. I'm so discouraged, Lord. I believe You rose again from the dead. I'm banking my eternity on that, Lord. But Lord, I need to know that daily power that comes from the resurrection. See, the Bible says we're risen in Christ. We're buried with Him in baptism, but we're risen with Him. We're associated with His resurrection. We could go to verses, and you don't want me to do it. I'm going to quit. You don't want me to take the time. I know that. But I want you to know that God has given us the ability to live our lives in the power of His resurrection and not in the weakness of all the other things. Would you this morning look to Him and say, Lord, I want to live in the power of Your resurrection, the power of the resurrected Christ. I want to know Him. I want to have that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, trust in Him, oh, what He could do in your life. Oh, how He could help you if you just look to Him. Let's stand. Let's stand at this time. Father, You told Thomas, be not faithless, but believing. Lord, I pray. Oh Lord, how I pray that You'd help us today to be not faithless, but believing. If there's anyone here that's never trusted in You as Savior, oh, that You might draw them, that they might come forward and just tell us that they need to be saved, so that we might show them the scriptural method of salvation just by opening the Bible and showing Scripture to them and giving them the opportunity to trust in You this morning. Lord, if there's any, for the believers that are here, I can't believe that there's not somebody here that's just beaten down and discouraged, and Lord, they're not living in the power of Your resurrected life. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to seek that this morning and say, oh Lord, give me that understanding. Give me that knowledge of who You are and what You'll do in our life if I'll just trust in You. Lord, help us to turn our hearts to You this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you'll just pray.